Nicole Merkel from Here Together, and Nathan Teske from Bienestar, Cadence Petros from the city of Beaverton. Folks, thank you all very much. This is an incredibly serious problem. I appreciate the time you've devoted to us. I want to take a moment to thank Shauna Muckle. Our intern came up with some really great research. And folks, if you want to comment, if you want to reach any of these people through our website, that's insidewashco.org. Thank you very much. Next week, tune in for part two.
Thank you for listening to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. Go to our website, insidewashco.org, to contact us or leave comments on this interview. This series is produced by Rick Paulson.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Next up, at 9:30, it's Culture in Motion, a program about art, culture, politics, education, and social movements with hip-hop as the guiding light, with host Mike Crenshaw.
It's not one intervention that's going to solve this problem. It's multiple tactics from different ends of the spectrum that will help. But adding supply is always a good thing.
Good morning. You are listening to Culture in Motion, the twice monthly show brought to you by your host, Mike Crenshaw. That's me. We talk about the intersections of art, culture, politics, music, activism, and all those good things. And today on the show, we have some very special guests. I have Aaron Greenwood. Is it Greenwood?
Yep, Greenwood. Greenwood Rio Seco. Sometimes I use that too.
Right. Thank you. Sorry for that. And I have Dylan Muldrew. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
So there's, you guys are here to talk about a very special project called Class Set. So why don't we introduce that project, and then we'll get into a little bit of personal stories about who each of you are. So tell us what Dylan, what is Class Set?
Class Set, well, when I was contacted, it was just a series of posters that were for teachers to be able to purchase for their classrooms to put around their schools.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the posters have quotes from different famous activists or politicians or artists or whoever.
Authors, yeah.
Yeah, authors too, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is Class Set to you?
Yeah, well, just to be clear, they're free for teachers, which is really cool. If you're a collector, you can purchase them, and that money goes back into making more posters. But Class Set is, like Dylan said, an edition of 10 11 by 17 risograph printed posters. This project was started by a woman named Jessalyn Ayland from Oakland, who has already published 3 volumes of this class set already. And we met a couple years ago and are creating one for Portland.
Okay. So Class Set is a set of posters, 11 by 17 posters, that are going to be going into classrooms. The messaging on the posters varies.
Yep. There are kind of inspirational and affirmative quotes for students, encouraging divergent thinking, questioning, creativity, curiosity, solidarity. Each edition of the posters is accompanied by a curriculum guide. So teachers and students can design their own posters together, kind of based on inspiration from these.
Okay, and are you're going into schools specifically in Portland Public School, Multnomah county, or are you going all over? Where, how?
Yeah, well, you know, teachers can find out about the project by going to the classset.org URL, and they can sign up to pick up their own set of posters to take into the classroom, or if you're from out of town, you can have a set sent to you. Mm-hmm. We are going to go into the KS MOCA project that's over at King School.
Wonderful.
We're going to work with, I think, the elementary kids over there and just introduce them to the project.
Yeah, I was really inspired to hear about KS MOCA. And for the listeners who don't understand, that's King School Museum of Contemporary Art. So you've actually got a Museum of Contemporary Art inside of an elementary school in Northeast Portland. And a lot of the art is created by the students, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So Dylan, you're an artist. What would you say if you were to describe the type of artist? Are you a visual artist primarily?
Visual artist primarily.
Okay.
I do music, but first I was a visual artist, so... artists in general, but visual artists for now, for, you know.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been an artist for?
Pretty much my whole life. My dad was like a huge movie buff, and so I just spent a lot of time like watching just random movies. So I don't, yeah, that's pretty much where I got a lot of my inspiration for art from, just redrawing a lot of Godzilla, a lot of aliens, a lot of robots and stuff, just random.
Right.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some of your stuff on social media. I get a kick out of it. It's a lot of stuff that reminds me of comic books and it's got like a kind of Afrofuturist feel to it.
Yeah, I was never really like super into comic books growing up, but my mom, she used to shop at Goodwill a lot, and they got like this little dollar comic book section, so that's primarily where I got a lot of my stuff from. So I'm not like a huge comic book buff, but yeah, that's like a lot of my influence comes from just that style of art. Yeah.
Okay. So the intersection between like the skill set of being a visual artist and then a more like political consciousness, you know, as far as some of the messaging, that's what I see happening in class set. Can each of you talk a little bit about why that's important to you? Maybe, and you want
sure.
to say something about
yeah.
that?
Yeah, well, I've been doing kind of artist in residency teaching in the schools for a while now, and it's really important for me to have like a way to kind of connect with the kids right away before launching into a project. And so Class Set has been really cool for me to use just to kind of level the playing field and allow all kids to be kind of on equal footing in the classroom. And, you know, mostly I've taught in North Portland schools where there's a lot of diversity and some of the kids don't feel quite so welcome. And so, you know, using a tool like Class Set to introduce artists from the area or activists or authors that, you know, are social justice based or have a message that's really inclusive or focused at kids who don't necessarily get taught their own history in schools. Yeah.
Right. So Dylan, being a Black artist in a city like Portland, I find, you know, we have that in common, both of us living here. Mm-hmm. I find that there's something explicitly and implicitly political about just doing what we do in order to survive. How you've been a professional artist in Portland. You say you've been an artist pretty much most of your life. Have you gone outside of Portland and existed as a professional artist?
Actually, no, I haven't.
Uh-huh.
I've done shows in like Seattle or just like surrounding cities, but as far as like going outside the coast or just like say like further down to California, I haven't really done anything of that nature.
Mm-hmm. And if you you talk about being a visual artist, but then you say you're doing music too. Mm-hmm. What kind of music are you doing?
Hip hop, mainly traditional hip hop. Like uh-huh. You know, yeah.
You're making beats and you're spitting rhymes.
Yeah,
as well.
sampling records. Yeah, pretty much making beats. Yeah.
How did you two, you and Ann, come together and start working collaboratively on this project?
Well, I got the email through Jesse, and I don't. It was just through email. I don't know if I got one from her too. I'm not sure, but yeah, that's pretty much how I was contacted. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jesselyn lives down in Oakland, California, and. Like I said, she's done a number of these projects already, and so we were funded partially by a PICA Precipice Fund grant to do this. So we just kind of started combing the, you know, social media and looking at artists who maybe were not very well represented in the area and people we wanted to... connect up with more of the fabric of the arts community. You know, these posters are going to be sent all over the world. Right now, I think Jesselyn said that, you know, there's, I don't know, she has distributed several thousand sets of these posters. Okay. So, yeah. So this is the first time Dylan and I met was right here, right now. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm glad that KBOO can be part of this world premiere intersection and collaboration of you guys working together. And, you know, and you, how long have you been a professional artist for?
Well, I've lived in Portland for like 30 years. So, you know, I do other things to help make a living, but right. I've been pretty consistent being an artist for that whole time.
Yeah. And it's, you know, something I notice a lot of us artists have to do, and where a lot of us meet, is we have to figure out other ways to survive outside of just creating. And a lot of us have found our ways into classrooms and become teaching artists and working in the community with young people in schools. Is that part of the work that you also do, Ann?
Yep. Yeah, I do. You know, I have a studio practice where I try to do some of my own projects, like I make artists' books or do textiles projects, and then I also bring some textiles education into students and do larger community projects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What, again, is that URL for listeners if they wanted to go online and see an example of the content included in Class Set? Where can they go again?
They can go to classset.org, and that is classset.org.
Okay. Well, this is Being Culture in Motion. We want to talk about the intersection of art, culture, politics, activism, and music. And so I want to take opportunity while I have both of you here to ask each of you a question. So we all can look out and be aware of the environment, the social, political, economic, cultural context of the moment. So where do you see things headed? Like if you could use your creative mind, use your third eye, and think about 5 to 10 years down the road, what do you see? Let's start with you, Dylan.
What do you mean in terms of what I see in the future of Portland art, or
we can be inclusive? We can talk about the future of Portland art. We can narrow it down and be really specific. But I like to try to encourage people to be visionary. Like, where are we headed as a society? So when you think about the vibe that we're feeling right now, you know, with things happening globally, things happening locally, and things happening personally, where do you see things?
I think the world is so, like, because of social media, everything is so together now that it kind of goes in so many different directions. It's kind of hard to, like, put like a label on, like, what exactly or what's going to happen. Because I think like the streaming music and just like how social media is kind of like just changed up. Everything's like kind of revolving around the algorithm and stuff like that. Right. And it's so easy to trick the system and getting somebody to play your song 100 times while they sleep, you know, just like, so I don't really know in terms of technology wise, how that's going to influence the art. But yeah, I wouldn't be too sure.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I'm always trying to, I'm always bringing up this question in the classroom because I feel like, and you know, folks have heard me say this before, and this statement isn't mine. I don't own the statement, but I feel like it's easier for us to imagine the end of the world than it is for us to imagine the end of capitalism. And so I feel like we have a lot of work to do to not just repeat and reinforce what we're already familiar with, and to try to, you know, as creative people, visualize a new world that's not just the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And can you say a little bit, like, do you do any visionary thinking around?
I do. Yeah. I mean, yesterday I was having lunch. I have a studio down in Ken Uncle's Carton Services building down on Front Street, and I was having lunch with one of the other studio artists there, Dana Lyons, and we were talking about our different projects. She's doing this huge project, ongoing project, called Gather. Gather, Give, Shelter. I think that's the right name for it. But we were just talking about how, you know, the arts community can be seen as like an organism, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we all play these different roles within that organism. And we were talking about ourselves as community engagement artists being kind of like connective tissue, you know? And so I've been doing a little bit of visioning around, you know, like how important it is for people to come together and share resources and do just kind of like what we're doing here, you know, like talking together and meeting new people and trying to expand each other's audience and expand each other's kind of depth in the community. And, you know, I mean, that's a lot of what I try to do with teaching and with community projects, you know, collaborating so that there's not just an individual being focused, but there's like a bigger community of people on that platform. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's some heavy. I'm always navigating that space that has a lot of contradictions in it. You know, personal empowerment versus like collective liberation, right? Like what's good for me or what's good for all of us or as many of us as we can include. Mm-hmm. And they're not always in alignment.
No. That's true.
And you know, we can achieve things for personal gain that allow us to feel a sense of accomplishment, but then we find ourselves isolated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the artists that are inspiring you right now, locally, nationally, globally?
Locally, I have to say, Soup Dread, Super Ape is one of my favorite dudes. Just like just the energy, just like the passion, just like as he's not even just like in the song, but just like the performance, just like the hand movements and just how he's like, just like that stuff gets me amped.
Is that an MC?
Okay, MC, okay. Producer.
Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty well known. Not well known, but just around the city, I guess.
Okay.
But I personally come from a crew called Renaissance Coalition, and Slick Devious is another artist. He recently did a song called BMW Bus Max Walk, which is like a tribute to TriMet. So that's one of my favorites. Are you Mike Crenshaw? One of the first shows I went to as an 11-year-old, opening up for the game.
Thank you, bro.
Who libretto, versatile for sure. All
those
the legends.
Are the homies. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah.
And if people want to follow your work online, where can they go?
Instagram mainly. Shinobi Zoo, Shinobi _ Zoo.
Okay.
Yeah, all lower caps.
And who's inspiring you right now?
Yeah, I mean, I am way inspired by Jessalyn, who's been making this class set project since like 2016. A lot of local artists I've been out to see. Vanessa Renick's new project down at Stumptown.
I need to get down there.
Yeah, that is very cool. Let's see. I was over to see Johanna Jackson, who is one of the artists in this class set project, visual artists. She just had an exhibit downtown at, I am spacing the gallery right now. There are so many local artists doing amazing things right now. I'm so inspired to learn about, like Dylan's work. I had no idea. He was a visual artist in the community. Yeah, there's a lot going on. Sherita Town is an amazing local artist that is getting a lot of attention right now, which is long deserved. Yeah, I mean, I love all the unique voices from Caldera Arts Program that I meet.
Shout out to Caldera and the opportunities they provide. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Paragon Arts Building up on PCC campus has a very cool exhibit right now. Ebenezer Galuzzo, a trans artist with huge portraits of his work. Very interesting, cool to be shown in a commercial gallery, school gallery. Yeah. All kinds of stuff. I mean, where we're exhibiting this project next week is at C3 Initiative, which I also want to give a shout out to. C3 is a platform for critical inquiry. They provide place-based support structures to nurture personal and social introspection to individuals and communities. There are spaces down there on the park blocks. And next week, on first Thursday, February 6th, we'll be hosting the class set launch party there from 6 to 9 p.m. We'll be showcasing one of the authors, Kim Stafford, who was the poet laureate for Oregon. Mm-hmm. He's one of the quoted artists in the set. He'll be there reading poetry, and then Dylan will also be there performing music, too.
So, Dylan, you're set down at the event on February 6th, correct?
Oh, yes.
You're going to be performing MCing?
No, just a beat set on the SP404 sampler.
Dope.
Yeah.
That's February 6th. What time does that start?
That starts at 6 p.m.
And that's C3. What's the address?
Oh, my God. I don't have it right here.
Okay, so let's make sure we get that address up for C3. Maybe we could check it out. look in our devices right quick and get it up. And then the URL one more time for the people.
Yeah, the URL is classset.org. That's classset.org.
Okay. And that's what it do. I'm going to say thank you to you both for coming down. I'm going to follow up with the address for C3 so that people can understand where they need to go on February 6th. And anything you all want to say before we get out of here? Ann and Dylan, you want to shout out anybody?
Yeah, I just want to thank PICA and the Precipice Fund for supporting this project. I want to thank C3. And I want to thank all the artists who participated in the project, and the activists and authors for their radical work. And I want to thank you, Mike, for letting us come here and talk today.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming down. Anybody you want to shout out, Dylan?
No shout outs. Thank you. You know.
Right on.
Pretty much it. Think I'm good.
All right, well, I look forward to seeing you guys down there on February 6th at C3. And by all means, folks, check out Class Set, and thank you for listening to Culture in Motion. So this is Mike Crenshaw, and you are listening to Culture in Motion, and I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to let you know that this show is going to be on twice monthly. We're usually going to be on the 2nd and 4th Wednesday from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. going forward. And tune in to listen to, you know, guests from the community, locally, nationally and even abroad, talk about the intersection of art, culture, music, politics, and activism. You just were listening to Ann Greenwood and Dylan Muldrew, and they were talking about this class set, this series of graphic 11 by 17 posters that are going to be in classrooms. So they gave you the information about where to find those things online. And I want to let you know that February 6th, that opening is going to be at the C3 Initiative. Okay. And that C, for those of you that want the location of the C3, that's going to be 412 Northwest 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97209. And again, thank you for tuning in to Culture in Motion. We're going to be on the second and fourth Wednesdays, and from 9:30 to 10 a.m. And I wanted to also give a shout out to the students from Alliance at Benson. We've got a project going on over there called Hip Hop Time Machine. All right. So periodically, what you're going to find is you're going to find, when you tune into Culture in Motion, these features that have to do with the students. I've been hired to be a teaching artist in residence, working on project-based learning at Alliance and Benson. There's a couple other schools that I'm in periodically with arts organizations like Caldera, Young Audiences, and others. But the work that I'm doing at Benson involving the Hip Hop Time Machine is these high school students that are part of the alternative program called Alliance at Benson. They're basically looking at the history of music, okay? Popular music, different kinds of different genres of music, blues, jazz, R&B, rock, soul, country, zydeco, you name it. They're going back in time, you guys, and they're sampling music that was created in previous decades. We're examining the art of sampling as a feature that's been developed through hip hop music as part of hip hop culture, right? So the Hip Hop Time Machine is these students going back with the support, technical support of platforms like Ableton, and sampling music from past decades, and then bringing it into a contemporary element. So stay tuned and look forward to some more Hip Hop Time Machine. And also, you know, it's important to say that the beats that these and the songs that these students are composing and arranging and bringing in samples as part of decades past, some of the stuff that we're going to be hearing and that the students are going to be sharing don't sound like rap music. You know, hip hop culture is bigger than rap music. Some of these students are going to be creating rock compositions or punk compositions, but still it's the element of sampling that's going to give us the hip hop, you know? And so I look forward to sharing that with you periodically on Culture in Motion. Once again, I'm your host, Mike Crenshaw, and it's always awesome to be down here at KBOO. Support KBOO, you know, become a member of KBOO today. And thank you for tuning in. Peace.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Next up, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. Then at 11, we have The Bike Show. We're joined by two faculty members from Minnesota State College Southeast, Chase Spaulding and Brian Hanold. Don't forget that you can hear all these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. Want a third way to listen to all of your favorite KBOO programming? Then download our mobile app today.
KBOO at the Clinton is a monthly film series that benefits your community radio station. This month's screening is Black February on Thursday, February 13th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. Black February chronicles a remarkable series of concerts spanning from funk to symphonic works, providing unique insight into New York's vibrant avant-garde music scene. Again, that's Black February on Thursday, February 13th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Studios of KPFA in Berkeley, California. This is Flashpoints. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Today on the show, chaos in Iowa. Who won? Who lost? Was it sabotage or extreme ignorance and incompetence on the part of the corporate DNC? All this coming up straight ahead. By the way, we'll also hear from Harvey Wasserman about, can you guess why maybe we should be using paper ballots in 2020? All of this coming straight ahead at you. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Well, let's see. Do we know what happened in Iowa? Kevin Gostola, managing editor of Shadowproof, what would you say happened? What do you know about it? What's your understanding of what went right and wrong? Did something go right by going wrong on purpose? What happened?
Yeah. I find a little humor in the fact that I have a media company or organization named Shadowproof, and I'm going to be exposing and talking to you about the corruption with an app called Shadow. Or with the company that made an app called that, and their name is Shadow Inc. And I don't understand why we have a progressive company that is making election tools that calls itself Shadow Inc. It just seems like the worst possible name to have. But I guess this speaks to culture out in Silicon Valley.